Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
You've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4.
Hey, nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Welcome back to it, and nice to have you along right across the Triple M network where they are listening, where you are listening, wherever you might be listening, and via the Triple M NRL app. We do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Give them a call on 1-800-848-848. And when we do those score updates, that's thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. Bulldogs 12, Newcastle 0. Bulldogs 12, Newcastle 0. 5 gone second half. Couple of injuries in the Newcastle side. Andrew McCulloch and Connor Watson have both left the field, and we believe will not return for the afternoon. So, boys, let's talk about, the coaches are dropping like flies this year, aren't they? Paul Green, the latest to quit his post at the Cowboys. Interim coach there is Josh Hannay. Josh, of course, played 150 games for the Cowboys up there. He's from around that part of the world, so he's filling in there. But let's talk about the Cowboys. Where are they at, do you think, Gordy? You're at Townsville. Boy, there's got a lot of, I called a game with him the other night, a lot of young blokes, 18, 19, coming through.
Yep. Yeah, well, I think they're in a transition. You know, they had arguably one of the greatest players ever play in Jonathan Thurston, and it's massive shoes to fill. Like, and they got so many good young kids through. I think the new wave of young kids through. We watched them play against Penrith last week, and we caught it maroon, and you know, Hemiso and like the young hook, like they're there. They're just not quite, you know, like they need probably another 12 to 18 months to be, you know, that real solid first grader. And I think Paul Green, I've never been coached by him, but I played with Greeny. He's a super competitor. And everybody always says he's one of those guys that will win comps out of a couple of different clubs. Does that make sense? Mm. You know, coaching at a couple of different clubs. And yeah, it was just his time was up at the Cowboys, and now they'll go through the process, I think, like everybody else. But Townsville's a funny place. I think it's a bit like Newcastle. You really got to fit into the community. It's more than just coaching a rugby league side. It's about the community there.
So given that, but before I go to Paul Green, given on what you just said, who would ideally replace Paul Green?
I think there's so many people. I think there's Kevin Walters, there's Nathan Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, Nathan Brown last week when we called the game was so impressed with the young guys, and look what he's done to Newcastle to get them back to where they are. There's people like Anthony Griffin. I don't know what other coaches are on the thing, but they're three names that come to mind. And whoever else, I think there'd be every coach putting their hand up for the Cowboys job. It's a great place to live up there in North Queensland. Townsville's a fantastic. There's so much talent that comes out of that region. I think they just got to make sure the pathways are full. Brand new stadium. You know, I find that coaching job really attractive, and not just because I'm an old North Queensland boy and a Townsville boy. I just think that there's a bit to like up there.
Oh, for sure. It's a gun job if you can land it. And I think as much as young coaches are all the rage at the moment, Gordy, I reckon there's a bit to be said for some coaches who have been around the block previously in the NRL, and then they've gone away and they've spent some time as assistants as well. Dave Ferner's one who was up at the Cowboys and went to Souths and was part of Souths having success there. And then he went over to Leeds, didn't have such a successful stint there, and is now back helping out with the Newcastle Knights this season. John Cartwright is at Manly, who, you know, got the Gold Coast Titans into a final series when he, in his first coming as an NRL head coach, and then has sat back and just worked away behind the scenes as an assistant. But they're sharp football brains, so there are plenty of options around.
Mm. Somebody like Nathan Brown, though, I guess if we talk about Cowboys being in a transition phase, which they definitely are, you've got three or four great young players like that. Tabuai Fadoa is one of them, and Dejan Assey, and then you've got Ruben Cotter. A lot of young players are going to be stars of the future. Would somebody like Brownie be there, good there in recruit players to sort of complement those blokes?
I haven't had a real good look. I think Brownie's a great coach. You know, I mean, I think Nathan Brown, if you look where Newcastle are at now, everybody keeps on talking about Adam O'Brien. Well, you know, he's having the season that Brownie was having, you know, I think. But when you come in and you rebuild a side like there was so much work to do at Newcastle, I think you have so many tough questions that your voice ends up, you know, people get tired of your voice. And I think that, yeah, that was probably Brownie. And you got someone like Kevy that's been waiting, that's a fantastic coach and can slot into anywhere. And I think Kevy's at the point now where he can pick, you know, I think that he'll just wait until the right job, and he's probably waiting for someone to go, hey, mate, we really want you to put your resume up. Yeah, it's someone like Griffin that was had a real good young group of guys in Brisbane. He was pretty successful. He went to Penrith and Cartwright and those guys who have been, you know, at a lot of clubs. And Fernsy, you know, was pretty good at Canberra in his day. And, you know, so there's so many great coaches out there. It's just the right fit. And as I said, it's got to be the right fit. Townsville's one of those places where the community's got to like it because it's such a community-based team. And it's really important that the community get behind you. A bit like Newcastle, you know, Wayne Bennett, like he didn't really rub into the community. And I think that when you go there, you know, North Queensland, I just know from living there, you know, they spot a fake really quick.
Well, it's rugby league mad town, isn't it? Like they mate,
absolutely.
Football, so.
Mate, absolutely. It's first, second, third, fourth, fifth up there, and and always has been, and always will be. And you know they don't want the best coach. They want someone that really cares about, you know, like I think the whole game of rugby league up there, and would be a good person in society. And you know, when you go get the bread or have a beer in a pub, like then, you know what I mean, because it is a community based team. People drive 300K and 400K to go watch this side play. So it's really important that, you know, that they get that whole community behind them.
Funny story about Paul Green and just how passionate and loyal all those North Queensland Cowboys supporters are. After an Origin game many years ago, I went back over to Gambino's, Gordy, and
Gambino's. He's in the Sopranos too.
That's Maroon's joint, Gambino's. And so, yeah, I went over to Gambino's, and Greeny was in there, and Bump Greeny and a heap of his mates, Knuckles Greenhill, Greenhill, who used to play at Penrith. And
all the Wynnum boys.
All his old Wynnum, yeah, Manly mates, and great group of blokes. And anyway, so we've ended up going to have a couple of drinks at the casino. And at the casino, fans were coming up to Paul Green with Bundy and Cokes, right, that they'd bought at the bar, and saying, oh, I just want to, sorry to interrupt, I just want to give you this and just say thanks for 2015 for winning the club. And Greeny was saying, no, that's fine, no, appreciate it. But shows you how loyal and how much support those people have for rugby league.
It means everything. Growing up in North Queensland, that's where my love for rugby league is. You know, the Marlins, before the Cowboys come in, they played in the state league in Brisbane. And it was like a six-week competition, and all the good kids would come and play against Wally Lewis, and Winner Manley would come to town, or North Brisbane, or South, and Mel Meninga would come and play. We would drive around to watch that side play. We would drive 300 or 400 kilometres as a kid. You know, we'd all jump in the old Kingswood, and we'd, you know, cruise down there, and, you know, we'd watch Marlins play. And they couldn't match it with those guys. Like, they were a typical bush side that would go and they'd compete for, you know, a half a footy or 50 minutes, and then the other side would run away and beat them, you know, 38-8 or something. But it was so important, and it still is. It still is a community-based team, and you know, I just hope that they get a right coach. And I know that the club's in good hands. Lawrence Lancini walked away. There's a bloke named Lewis Ramsey that's a Townsville boy that worked at the Broncos for a while, and Jeff Reibel, who's been around at a few clubs, and they'll make the right decision for the club moving forward.
Egg was a road trip in the Kingswood.
Oh, yeah.
He used to love a road trip.
Yeah. My old man had the Statesman.
Did he?
The eight-track.
I think the old man bought it secondhand, but, mate, it was a problem going home because it got a bit cool and he couldn't wind up the window. You know, he had to try to wind it up. He couldn't wind up the window. Yeah. So the little kids in the back were, you know, getting a bit cold, so he'd make sure we had to take the jumper.
Mm. You know, and, of course, in those days, the old man might have 15 stubbies of DA.
Wretched's been around.
Let me say, he didn't sit in the curly bells with mum and the kids. I reckon he might have been in the old pig pen having a few scoops.
I'll tell you what, Gordy, this game, this is one of the upsets of the season on the cards here. So the Dogs have scored again around the grounds for Bryden's Lawyers, and it's 18-0. It is 18-0 to the Bulldogs against Newcastle after that massive spray from Adam O'Brien at halftime. So the spray...
as I said, the spray doesn't work unless you're big. I think in my time under Wayne, probably 170-odd games, maybe twice he launched. Twice.
All right, boys,
So he knows, yeah. He knows when to hold them, when to fold them. You've got to be smart about when you use
get more flies with honey?
Yeah. Hey, boys, I've got an update here on the Newcastle injured players. Connor Watson, a suspected ruptured Achilles, 5 to 8 months recovery.
Oh.
Andrew McCulloch with a suspected high hamstring strain. Long recovery expected. So massive news if you're a Knights fan. Connor Watson and Andrew McCulloch extended time on the sidelines. Now, we've talked about the Cowboys. We haven't spoken about where Paul Green might end up, because I think Paul Green coming onto the market, that's going to mean a lot of clubs are going to try and shuffle the decks to see what they want to do here. Does this put more pressure on Anthony Seibold? Could you possibly put more pressure on the man?
Oh, no. I think in relation to the Broncos, the blowtorch couldn't possibly be applied to the Broncos any harder. After the way they've been losing, the fact that David Fifita has left, some of the selection chopping and changing, the lack of effort at times from players. I mean, the most recent thing with the Broncos, this staggers me, is Payne Haas has somehow got himself involved in a social media argument with Chris Walker, and Petro Sivinaseva, of all people, is out to intervene as a peacemaker and just tell him, boys, let's just calm it all down. Well, so apparently Texas Walker, who obviously you played with, has got a little bit of the nick in him. I've got to say, I like Texas. He's always good fun. He had something to say on social media about the Broncos, which Payne Haas didn't agree with. I think it was about Brody Croft, Gordon. It was about Brody Croft and the fact that there were suggestions there were crocodile tears after the Warriors game, yet then after the Melbourne loss by 40-plus Friday night, Brody was standing around talking to some of his ex-teammates and smiling and didn't seem to have the same level of frustration with the performance. Yeah. So Texas has called him out about that on social media, made a comment. And then Payne Haas has jumped in and said, hey, listen, I'll stand up for my mates and back off a bit. You've worn the jumper.
Well, they're both right. You know, Texas, you know, I when you stand around and when they were, you know, crying, I thought they were forced tears myself, personally.
Mm.
I don't know them. And I'm happy if I'm wrong, they can text me. And then a front row on Payne Haas sticking up for his teammates, that's what you do.
Mm.
So I think that they're both right. You know, Chris Walker can have an opinion and he's entitled to it. And Payne Haas has to stick up for his mate.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And they're both right. So
I'll say this, Gordy, and I agree with you 100% about, you know, front rowers' jobs always to protect your teammates. But I reckon the Broncos have got to get away from social media. They need to put their phones away. They need to not be listening to all that sort of outside noise. I don't know how any of that. I don't know how.
Well, I don't know how old I went. If I was 20 and I'm there, and I had a chance, because Hoops, like, we used to get, you know, pick up the paper and didn't like what people said, but you had to pick up the phone and you didn't know their numbers. And now, you know, if you did get the shits and you actually have their number there, you know, is it easy to fire off like a text message? And I know it's on social media and everybody sees it, but they're probably just thinking that it is like a text message. I don't know how I would have gone through my career sticking up for mates or, you know, getting into someone that's having a go at me or whatever. So I can't talk about that, but I think that's the way of the world now. And I know I say a lot and people rip into me. EDA, I didn't even know what that meant. Or something like that. Mate, everybody rips into my social media and says all these things.
Oh, is it EAD?
Yeah, what's that mean?
Oh, I don't really know. Somebody just...
So I get hammered all the time, but it doesn't worry me because these are blokes that are normally...
I didn't know what that meant, Gordon.
EAD.
I didn't know what it meant either.
What does it mean, Hoops?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know that it's... Yeah,
yeah, just look up the Urban Dictionary and you'll find out.
On lunchtime afternoon radio.
Well, listen, boys, you keep getting off...
So the point is, Hoops, you're right. If you're on social media, you realise that if you text, it's going to the world and it's there for life. But as I said, I don't know what I would have done when I was 20 because I used to shoot from the hip, and it's fair to say I'd be in the same spot as Texas, and I'd be the same spot as Big Payne Haas.
All right, boys, you're getting off the point here. We need to get back to Paul Green.
Well, you're the host, so
well, that's why I'm getting it back
job
to the point.
Right.
Now, Paul Green is on the market.
Yes.
If you're the New Zealand Warriors who have a history of getting the wrong coach when the time comes, why wouldn't you just say, let's approach Paul Green?
If I'm the New Zealand Warriors, I'd shoot myself out of a cannon at Paul Green.
Right.
And do whatever it takes to try and get him in the club. He's the perfect style of hard, old school, tough disciplinarian that would be able to get the Warriors headed in the right direction.
Well, why wouldn't the Broncos do the same?
because their Broncos have other options, i.e. a club legend in Kevin Walters, who
is probably a better fit.
I think there's a view that given the situation that the Broncos are in at the moment, that there's probably only a few people that could go in and be given the latitude and the respect to be able to try and fix it from as low as it's sunk. And Kevy would be one of those people.
There's only one guy that can go in there now and pull it all back together.
And that's Kevy?
And that's Kevy Walters, absolutely.
Right. Okay, well, we'd like to see it too. Bulldogs 18, Newcastle 0 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. 17 gone, second half. This looks like a major upset on the way. Repeating the news, Connor Watson and Andrew McCulloch, in a space of about 10 minutes, both left the field injured. Connor Watson, a suspected ruptured Achilles, 5 to 8 months. Andrew McCulloch, a suspected high hamstring strain. Long recovery for that one as well. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and recap some of the news that's going on around the place and preview this game this afternoon, Panthers-Titans, as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. Woo! The Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Yes, we have got a, well, finally the Knights are on the board. There's still time. There's 19 minutes left in the game. Canterbury 18, Newcastle 4. And Kalen Ponga just about to try and add the extras to the Newcastle try. Canterbury 18, Newcastle 4. If Kalen kicks this, it'll make all the difference. And he has 18-6 here at Triple M. Just repeating the news earlier on in case you've just joined us and, you know, you're a late starter today. You're a little bit slow off the mark this morning. David Fifita has signed with the Gold Coast Titans. What we're hearing, somewhere between $3 and $3.5 million. It's a massive coup for the Gold Coast Titans. What does it say about the Titans? Well, it says they're here to play. They've also signed Big Tino from the Melbourne Storm.
Fasua Mala'awi.
And also Herman Sasa. So they've recruited some big forwards. And that's going to be good from next year if Holbrook can get them all to perform.
Be a mean pack, be a menacing forward pack. And Gordon's going to be in there. Like, you're obviously heavily involved with the club, Gordy.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just a fan. So, but
for Tuaka too, I did. He's already there.
Mo's been great. Like, they've made, for what they've got this year, you know, it's disappointing losing someone like Jai Arrow, but it gave us a chance to get those other guys to come. And, you know, it's going to be a good young forward pack next year with a lot of potential, and we just got to make sure that we get it all out of them.
Well, that's your forward pack now. That's a nucleus of a, you know, you've got Sasa, Big Tino, you've got Fifita, you've got Big Mo Fotuaka already there, and there's a couple of other good ones dancing around those guys as well. But what about your half 5'8"? That kid Fogarty goes okay. He's been in that Queensland Cup system a long time though, hasn't he? What's the future of him and Ash Taylor?
Oh, well, they're both, I think, there next year. But what it does is playing with that forward pack, and if they all play their potential, well, it gives you time and space. And, you know, if they don't want to, you know, and I think it gives you a better bargaining tool. If you're going and you're going to talk to a Luke Keir if he comes off contract or whatever, you know, like, don't use that name, but if you're going to go sign the next Wally Lewis or Darren Lockyer and you've got this great forward pack there, well, maybe no doubt it'd be easier or like a better decision for you to make, you know, if you're going to play with a great lot of forwards. As what they say, if you've got a good lot of forwards, mate, you can put Ray Charles behind him and he'll make some great decisions.
Who did he play for? I don't remember him, Ray Charles.
Ray Charles?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, but more specifically, let's, if we can, just dig down a little bit now, Hoops, on Ash Taylor, because he's not going to have many excuses if that forward pack does perform.
No, look, Ash has got one season to run. I think that will probably see him out at the Gold Coast Titans unless he has an enormous form reversal and somehow puts himself into Dally and medal calculations and the Titans are up in finals contention and all those sorts of things. So he's obviously had a lot of challenges on and off the field over the course of the last couple of years and he's continuing to work through them.
Now, back again to the David Fifita thing, boys. It got me thinking earlier, if I was a Bronco supporter, I remember in 1989, 23 years old, the great Ian Roberts leaves the Rabbitohs to go to Manly, and I was just beyond filthy, you know, beyond filthy. Oh, I was feral. What was that?
I thought you were going to say 2KZ came knocking when you were on
Inverell. 2NZ.
When you were on Inverell.
radio. And they stole Millie.
Yeah.
And they stole Millie, and she went on to be number one.
Well, they did. They offered me double. I was already on $169 a week. So by the time they doubled it up, I could nearly pay the rent. But the area I'm moving in is when players.
You were fuming when Ian Roberts shifted.
Yeah, you know,
from
when somebody takes a good player?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Look, and the rivalry that will now exist between these Queensland clubs is it's already a derby as it is, but now with David Fifita's signature with the Gold Coast Titans, it just adds a whole nother layer of spice.
Mm. What about some of those, Gordy, like when, for instance, Jonathan Thurston was at the Dogs originally, wasn't he?
Went to the Cowboys. More recently, Angus Crichton was at Souths and made a name for himself there and was going really well, and then signed with arch rivals the Roosters.
Yeah, and it's healthy. It's like those three that played for Melbourne that thought that they got overlooked from Brisbane, you know? And we're talking about Cameron Smith, Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk, and they're playing in the Brisbane comp, and, you know, they're right underneath the Broncos' eyes, and Jonathan Thurston, I'm sure that they leave it, you know, leave a bit of, you know, special attention when they come up against clubs, you know, that probably overlooked them. And I had that sort of feeling too, where, mate, my brother was at the Broncos and I was, you know, and I'm playing and I had to go the long way to get there. Mm. But it makes you sort of respect it and earn it more. And I don't know what's going to go through Fifita's head. And sometimes when you're playing against your mates, you know, you try it a little bit harder, and next year he's going to play against, you know, some really close mates that he's got probably lifelong friends at the Broncos. But it's a business and he's got to go out there and he'll play as good as he can in a Titans jersey. And for the rest of the year, he'll have the Broncos on. And I'm sure they'll make a pack, you know, to try to get back into the eight and give the competition a shake.
The big ones in recent times, Gordy. So the Cowboys lost Kalen Ponga. Souths lost Luke Keary. Yeah. They'd love to have that one back again. Tigers lost James Tedesco. I know they'd love to have that one back again. The Dragons lost the Stewart brothers. Yeah. They were actually in the Wollongong system. Mm. Are you serious? Yeah, they obviously went and played, you know, and had hugely successful careers, became household names with Manly. The Panthers lost Freddie, remember that?
Oh, yes, of course. The Roosters
got Freddie and Gus.
That was massive.
Back in the day. Like,
bloody, I remember Freddie. I don't know how old Freddie is. He might only be a year older.
He's about your vintage, I think, Gordy.
Yeah, mate, I think he might be a year or maybe 18 months older, but he was a school kid.
Yeah,
playing against, like playing against your idols, and he just come on and he and he slotted straight in. And I remember I was at the Dragons and Penrith come, and I think it was an Origin, and like, and I wasn't even playing grade then. I was thinking of 90. And he took off the tracksuit. He was massive. Like, it was, like, huge watching Brad Fittler live, and he had that beautiful step. He's just, mate, I reckon Penrith would love that all over again, wouldn't it?
I guarantee, like that side,
and I know there was a bit of tragedy off the field, and God bless him, but it was that side that was built to go on for a few years, wasn't it?
Mm. Well, they won the club's first ever premiership in 91. Gus was the coach.
And they were all young.
Freddie and Brandy. Well, the only one who was, you know, had been around for a fair while was Royce. Who's still, he's still working his way around Mount Pleasant, I think, Maroon, just trying to make sure. That's one of the greatest speeches ever.
I can't wait to have a beer with all of you. And I asked Royce, have you had a beer with all of them? He goes, not yet.
Almost. He's still making his way around Emu Plains.
Just and, FYI, Hoops, Mount Pleasant's in Wollongong, so he might be making his way around Emu Plains.
I thought there was a Mount Pleasant.
I don't think there is, Hoops. I think Mount Pleasant's in bloody Wollongong.
Okay.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Right now it's Bulldogs 18, Knights 6, 12 minutes left in the game. And we'll talk about that game at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Titans-Panthers. It's all coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sinbin is full of experts. If you're looking for expert legal advice, have a chat to Bryden's lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it, and it's Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Give them a call if you need legal advice, 1-800-848-848. Dogs 18, Newcastle 12. It's a comeback with 7 minutes and 45 seconds to go. Nathan Brown will join us shortly and talk about the curse of the Newcastle hooker, but you've got something there that you want to share with us, Hoops, before we get to that.
I'm glad you raised Bryden's Lawyers, because a bloke on social media who's calling himself Bruno has just texted me and said, you should reach out to Bryden's Lawyers based on what Anthony has said moments ago about Mount Pleasant and the fact that it's in Wollongong and it's not in Penrith, because I think you'll find that it is actually out in Western Sydney, in the heartland of Rugby League's Golden West.
Right.
So not for the first time, Anthony.
Oh, so you're saying I'm wrong?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Bruno suggested I should use an old Jack Gibson line.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a rowboat brain and a battleship mouth.
Well, I'm going to use an old Jack Gibson line on you. There's always
free cheese in a mousetrap.
Nathan Brown, welcome.
Maroon, how are you, pal?
Brownie, we just had seen two Newcastle Knights hookers go down, long-term injuries in this game, Connor Watson and so to Andrew McCulloch. So just out there, you were talking to me about the Newcastle hooker curse. Where does it start? Can you tell us all about it?
Well, I blame Danny Badiris. I told Bedsy a little while ago because Bedsy actually got KO'd in his last game for the Knights in the semi-final. Jared Hargraves ran hard and Bedsy's head got in the sort of wrong situation. Bedsy got KO'd and got carried off and I took Rory Cost-Jason to the club, me and Moons. He got medically retired. He never even got on the field. Then we signed Slade Griffin. Slade was an outstanding signing for us at the Knights. Played 13 games, got medically retired. We then signed Jaden Brayley. I didn't get to coach Jaden, obviously, but he played 2 games and did his crew shirt. And now the Knights...
Two hookers in one game.
And then the Knights got an outstanding replacement in Andrew McCulloch, which, from what I hear, is his injuries looks like a disaster. And... then Connor Watson takes over, and then from what they're saying, his ankles are in a real sort of horrible situation too. So it's a lot of hookers to go down to one club in such a short period of time.
Now, Brownie, I'll just stay with the game here because they've 18-0 down, the Knights. Now it's 18-12. They're on the attack, 5.5 to go, but they've just coughed the ball up. So you'll be here to call the game this afternoon between Penrith and the Titans. Before we get to that, the coaching situation, I have to ask you. No doubt Hoops will jump in and protect you like he's your mother. But I have said today I'd love to see you get that Cowboys job.
I hope you're in the selection panel then. Yeah.
So you'd like the job?
That'd be a great job. We spoke about this yesterday with Tony. That I think that job's a job in a situation where I think any coach that's wants to coach that's free that doesn't have a job at the moment would like to do the Cowboys job. It's a very, very good club. Greeny's just started to rejuvenate the roster, you know, with some good younger players coming in. They've got some good experienced players who, you know, probably unfortunate for Greeny, had a sort of injury list to the sort of more experienced ones, which has left him with a lot of sort of youth playing in key positions, which is really tough to win with. Yeah, so I think that job's a good job for any coach, mate.
Because you've got all those youngsters, like you say, you've got Ruben Cotter, you've got Dejana Assi, you've got the Faduai Tabowi, or whatever he is.
Tabowi Fadoa.
And then you've got another young bloke out there on the wing, Tuolagi. Then you bring back Val Holmes. You've got quite a back line there.
Well, McLean hasn't played much, has he? And when he has played, he's obviously a high-quality player. And yeah, so it certainly, as I said, it's certainly an attractive job for any coach, and I would imagine that any coach that's free and available would certainly put their hand up for that one, mate.
How does that work, though, Brownie? Do you wait for them to call you, or do you send them off? What happens?
Oh, look, I think everyone's agent. Everyone's got someone that represents them. They always talk to someone who's involved, and the right people sort of they'll decide who they think's the right type of coach. You know, whether they've already decided that and they've spoke to someone, or whether they haven't done that, I'm not too sure.
Okay, well,
so,
hold
on. Can I just ask, so Brownie? So just so they go, oh, listen, I'm interested, and you don't always get an interview process. I go, oh, look, well, do they sharpen their pencil before you guys? Do they interview five or six or everybody gets an interview?
Every club's different, Gordon. If you look at, some clubs will just go, I want Craig Bellamy or I want Trent Barrett or I want whoever and just go and sign them. Some clubs will have a think about what type of coach they want, and some clubs will just grab a handful of people who they think the best five or six are for the job and interview them. There's all different ways that clubs go about. Every club's run different and probably depends on who's available to us, I suppose, as well.
Just before you got here, we spoke about the New Zealand Warriors job and the fact that Paul Green is on the market now. If you're the New Zealand Warriors, are you reaching out to Paul Green? I feel like they have a little bit of a history of getting the wrong bloke. If you look at the blokes they've sacked over the years, the Warriors, they've got a bit of a history of getting it wrong.
Yeah, I suppose the most important thing, I think, you know, Buzz Rothfield did an article the other day on your recruitment is the most important thing. And if you look at the Warriors when they've had success under Daniel Anderson and under Ivan, they had batches of young local kids that had come through their system which were good, really good players. And when the Warriors are going good, they've got their recruitment right and they've got the right blend of homegrown players and a couple of sprinkling with a couple of really, really good Aussies. The Warriors have got a really good plan in place. I've been involved a little bit with them. this pre-season, so I've actually seen firsthand what their plan is.
Mm.
They've got an outstanding recruiter now in Pete O'Sullivan, so I think, you know, at times they may have found the right coach, but the right coach might have had the wrong players.
Right. Okay. Good point. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, this game we're watching at the moment, Dogs 18, Newcastle 12. 2 minutes left in that game for Tyre Power, so we'll keep you posted if anything happens there. But Dogs 18, Newcastle 12. And another question I'll put to you, Brownie, that I put to the guys earlier on. Now that Paul Green is on the market, do you think there would be other clubs shuffling the decks, moving the furniture around, trying to have a crack?
Well, generally what happens, Marin, is we saw, like, obviously the Warriors were the first club to decide they were going to make a change, and then Canterbury followed, and it sort of generally does sort of put other clubs in a position where if they're thinking about doing it, sometimes they think, well, there's two coaches that are going to go, so I better make my move now. So Greeny becoming available, if there was a club that that coach is under pressure and that club thought Paul Green was the right fit, would it make him pull the trigger a little quicker? I'd guess it would.
Mm. Okay, boys, we'll might take a break here, but we've just seen the Dogs get a penalty with 1 minute to go and they lead the game 18-12. Mm. They've kicked for touch and they're up toward the halfway line. One to go, Dogs 18, Newcastle 12. I'd say the Dogs have got that now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Sorry, Hoops, you want to add?
That was a big call, that penalty. Yep. Kurt Mann was blowing up Deluxe. Nick Meaney went up for the bomb, did well to defuse it, and then Mann looked to be competing for the ball. They came into contact. Meaney lost the ball and the Dogs got the penalty. So, yeah, Kurt Mann was remonstrating with the referee and Mitchell Pearce had a bit to say to him as well.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll preview the game this afternoon between the Panthers and the Titans. Brownie's on the call team with Wendell. Dan's the caller. Should be a good game. We'll preview it next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it, and we've got a big game this afternoon too. The Panthers taking on the Gold Coast Titans. There's one or two small changes there, I think. I'll have a look at that while the boys are talking about the game. Panthers and Titans. Do you give the Titans any chance, Brownie? Obviously, they're buoyed by the news that David Fifita will be joining the club, but he won't be there to help today, unfortunately.
Yeah, he won't be there. It's obviously disappointing for the Titans at the minute, but he's certainly going to be there next year with Big Tino, and that's going to be two outstanding signings. And look at the club under, you know, Mal's been there now for a couple of years, and he's probably starting to get his prints around what he wants to get to the club. And Justin's been there for the short time, and things are really falling into place for the Coast, aren't they?
And Brownie Herman Essiessi, we talked about him earlier. He's going there too.
And another good signing. Mm. So with young Moataki, he's a hard-working kid, the young front row. So they're packed. Is starting to really, really look like a pack that could win a premiership down the track as those younger blokes keep playing. On today's game, mate, I come into the weekend thinking that the Warriors would have an awful, awful hard time against the Roosters, and I thought the Canterbury would have an awful, awful hard time against the Knights. So I'm not sure my judgment at the moment so flash on the games that we all think should be pretty laydowns there, is it? You know, the Roosters ended up winning, had a bit of luck. The Dogs obviously got away with the Knights, and, you know, coming into the weekend, I would have thought that most people would think, you know, Penrith would get a good result here. But the way the weekend's gone, some of the sides that have, I suppose, seen as the so-called easy beats playing top sort of four or five teams have done it tough, haven't they?
Absolutely. But what about you, Hoops? You give the Titans any chance?
I give them some hope, Anthony, but I think if the Panthers play to their best, they've won their last five games in a row, they're starting to get some real cohesion. The big out for Penrith's Appy Coruscant, he's been the buy of the season so far. He sustained an elbow injury last weekend. He'll be missing for up to 4 weeks. So Mitch Kenny gets his shot there. He's a different style of dummy half, very different style of dummy half to Appy. But I would think if the Panthers play as good as they can, they should beat the Gold Coast.
All right. What about you, Gordy? Tell us your thoughts on this game. Your Panthers up against the Titans.
Oh, the Titans would have to be absolutely at their best, and Panthers a little bit down. There's no doubt Panthers are ticking along nicely. But you get a chance with no Appy Coruscant, you know, if they get up there and they, you know, play the way they do and don't make any mistakes, you know, mate, you give anybody a chance. Like, mate, as what Brownie said, look at the Warriors last night, man. I thought there was going to be a cricket score and it wasn't.
Yeah.
And you look at Brisbane up against Melbourne, their first half, they were in it went all the way up to their eyeballs. And then, you know, Melbourne clicked in their gear. But you got to, you know, get them off their game. You got to ruffle their feathers a bit and, you know, and just got to do it for 80 minutes. Be prepared to roll up the sleeves for 80 minutes to beat the good sides.
All right, the Panthers only lost that one game all year and one draw, and they look like they might have the recipe to go all the way this year. The Panthers, our Maroons poll today, we got a good poll going today. The topic was, be interested to get your thoughts on this, Brownie, if you can do it in 2 minutes. I said Todd Payton being critical about other NRL clubs on the plight of the Warriors. Do you think your club, your NRL club, is obligated to help the Warriors?
I think what Todd said was that, you know, certain people have come out and said how happy they are that the Warriors have done the right thing and they'd love to help with the opportunity. And then I think maybe a couple of clubs may have come out and publicly said that, but really behind the door they've said, well, stuff the Warriors, I'm not helping you do anything. I think that's what the point was. I don't think that he feels that everyone's entitled to help or should have to help the Warriors. But what they didn't like was that people come out and doing the big publicity stunt and then behind closed doors saying the exact opposite.
But we're seeing with Hetherington being there or Fowler Masili being there, they're getting regular NRL first grade. I'm sure Hetherington's going to go back a better player.
Well, if Jack Hetherington wasn't playing for the Warriors at the minute, he'd be sitting on his backside doing nothing. And then if he did have to play a game, his fitness levels would be way, way worse off.
Absolutely.
It's just I can't see under these circumstances with no reserve grade how there's anything but a victory for the sides to let players go. Yeah, the Warriors,
for both clubs. And they're playing 100%. Good quality games. Yeah. They're playing hard. You are getting to watch your player. There's nothing like playing first grade footy to get your fitness up and to get your timing. And if something happens in the finals and you've got to pull a bloke that's played, hasn't played since round one, two or three, good luck.
And also, if you look at it, sorry, Hoops, if you look at it from another club's point of view, the Warriors aren't going to be making the eight. If you can actually help them win a couple of games, it takes some of your competition away and helps you further yourself on the table as well. So there's just everything but positive value for people to give the Warriors players, in my opinion.
All right. The other brilliant thing about the scenario too is, Brandy, you can actually, if you do loan a player and then you need to get him back, you can call him straight back.
Straight away.
So it's a win-win.
Win-win.
Okay, boys, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thanks once again to our sponsors, Brydens. Hoops, you're off to Fox League to do your job.
Yep, big leg wrap ladder on this evening, Anthony.
Brownie, I'll keep pushing you for that Cowboys gig, mate.
Great stuff, Maroon.
You don't have to stick up for Toddy Payton because he might go up against
you. Mate. He'll try and clip you for a percentage if you get it.
Gordy, we'll see you too on Fox League. Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.